And our next guest, let me give you a tweet that he threw out there on December 13th, which was yesterday. He says, and it's Dan Orlovsky, by the way, for all the crazy Carson Wentz haters out there, in 11 games, he had 21 TDs, 7 picks, 3 in one game, 64% completion percentage, all with the depleted weapons and unit, and the 25th ranked defense, along with the 28th ranked run game. Stop being ridiculous. Dude is an absolute star. Dan Orlovsky from ESPN joins us right now on the Comcast Business Hotline. Dan, how you doing today?
I'm fantastic, man. How are you, bud?
Well, it's crazy time here in Philadelphia, as you know. And, you know, the news comes out about Carson Wentz and the issue in his back. And looks like he's not going to be available come Sunday against the Los Angeles Rams, kind of the scene of the crime where the injury took place last year. So it looks like Nick Foles will step in. And I know you were supportive of Nick Foles last year. This year may be a little different, though. The weapons and the offense is different. How do you see this playing out with Foles getting back under center?
Yeah, I mean, obviously incredibly unfortunate with what's kind of transpired with Carson, but a great opportunity for Foles to continue to have the opportunity to run the football team and build for his future and potential opportunities at other organizations. The reality is, you know, I was relatively outspoken last year when Carson went down and Foles had to go play. Like, it was a situation where Nick Foles just had to not be Superman. Like, he didn't have to go do magical things. You had to do the basics. Don't turn the football over. Get completions. Rely on the people around you. Allow your defense to be something that you lean on. And that's what he did, and that's why they went on that incredible run. It's a completely different football team. And when Nick Foles took over last year, this was the third-ranked rush team and the fourth-ranked defense in the NFL. I mean, a lot of guys, I'm not taking anything away from Nick Foles, but a lot of guys were going to be able and keep that ship steady. Maybe not go on the run, but keep that ship steady. This is the 28th-ranked defense right now and like the 26th-ranked run game. And so you can't go, if you're Nick Foles, he can't just go be the same guy he was last year because the team isn't as good as they were last year, not around them. And so I don't see the recipe of success that I did last year.
Yeah, and you look at the situation. We're talking with Dan Orlovsky on the Comcast Business Hotline from ESPN. You look at the situation with this team, Dan. They're hanging by a thread here to make the playoffs. But one of the things that was impressive last year was that Doug Peterson went back and looked at film from that 27 touchdown and 2 interception season of Nick Foles and was malleable and changed his offense to kind of accentuate his strengths. But with no run game and a lack of mobility from a guy like Nick Foles, that's really going to be a deciding factor on how they perform offensively.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's a lot easier to call the RPOs, the run-pass options, when you have an incredible benefit of relying on the run. I mean, you felt good that, okay, if the defense was going to give you the run, you were going to get 4, 5, 6, 7 yards a clip at worst. And so that is not who the Eagles' run game is or has been this year. And so that's the thing that if you're Doug and looking at it going, do we go back to the same RPO stuff? Also, defenses are playing a little differently than they did last year. Like, we're seeing less and less traditional zones than we have been in the past when it comes to defenses. Teams are playing much more man, or what we call like match man, meaning once a guy gets into that defender's area, he matches them like it is man coverage. And that is something that negates or shuts down, minimizes the effect of the RPO, the run-pass option. So it's going to be a challenge for Doug to find something that's going to work. The reality, too, is like, you know, part of the success RPO was based upon two guys that aren't there. You know, Torrey Smith, for everyone that wants to say anything, Torrey Smith was the top off the coverage guy. That if that defenses had to pay attention to that stuff. They don't have that guy this year. That was part of the play-action game when Nick Foles played. And then Trey Burton was the guy that continuously got matchups and missed and information and forced defenses to play you. Did you play Burton as a receiver? Great. That helped your run game. And so that guy's not there. I know Dallas Goedert's there, but he's not the passing threat yet that Trey Burton was. So that's going to be the challenge for Doug. He's like, okay, who's going to be the personnel that I love that I can try to get our offense going?
We're talking with Dan Orlovsky. Dan, you were in the NFL quarterback and backup quarterback as well. What's the mindset for a guy like Nick Foles coming in this situation? He hasn't played since week two, but he knows that he has that success in coming in a relief role last year. So as he prepares to take on the Rams, where's his head at right now?
Yeah, this might be the most unique like backup situation since maybe like Steve Young in Montana type thing. You know, because there is a camp of people who believe Nick Foles should be the guy and should be the starter because of his success last year. And then there's a camp of people who think Nick Foles did a fantastic job in what was asked of him, but understand that he's probably better suited in the backup role, one of the better backups, back-end starters, and Carson Wentz is a transcendent franchise player. So I'm sure Nick Foles is sitting there going, man, last year was so magical and well-deserved and whatnot. Here's another opportunity for me. And so for him, tap into that magic of, but again, it's not as easy as it was. And I don't want to use the word easy, but it's not going to be as transparent of a journey. Like, he can't have the basic boring game at quarterback because the defense isn't as good. They're going to give up more points than they did last year. They're not going to get as many turnovers as they did last year. They're not going to be in as many favorable second down situations as they were last year because of the run game. So, you know, mindset wise, he's got to probably be a little bit more aggressive and know that this is a 3-week window that last year, that window was really prepping for the future of the playoffs. They knew they were getting in the playoffs. They knew kind of that there was going to be some home field advantage tied to it after a game of his. This year, it's like you got to be more aggressive because you have to go win the games. You have to go win these games rather than get yourself ready for the playoffs and find your way through it.
Yeah, it's a very interesting point. Couple that with the fact that they're playing against the high-flying Los Angeles Rams. I know you're very familiar with Detroit, and Golden Tate was acquired by the Eagles at the trade deadline. And it's been a bit underwhelming since he's been here as a Philadelphia Eagle. Now, he's not the outside burner threat that they really needed, and it's a bit redundant with Nelson Aguilar. He's more of a slot player. What have you seen out of Tate, and why haven't the Eagles been able to get more out of him on the field?
Yeah, so you're not going to find many people that are bigger fans like Golden as a ball player than I am. I mean, he's a very good friend of mine, and I love him as a football player. I'm also incredibly, you know, honest about his game as well. Golden has limitations at the receiver position because he's really a football player playing receiver. He's really a running back playing receiver. And so there's a package of things that you can do with Golden that he's successful at. And then there's things you just can't do with him. It's not going to work. It's bad for him and it's bad for a football team. And I don't know if Doug's figured out what that is yet. I know that Golden is best when the ball's in his hands in space. And and it's not necessarily, like, sometimes we think of it as just, oh, throw him a quick screen. It's not that simple as, like, oh, I just throw it to him in the slot and he'll go get 7 yards because no one can tackle him. You got to get him in some kind of space where he's moving forward. He's got some momentum because one of Golden's strengths is that he can get to top speed quickly because he's explosive, strong lower half. Now, his speed is not a strength of his, but the ability to get to top speed is good, but you got to get him moving forward. So getting some of those screens where it's not a stationary screen. Like, I've seen him use Golden where, like, he'll take the one step forward, throw it to me now. We call those now screens. Those are great, and that was Golden 4 years ago, but Golden's 4 years older. And so do some things to help his body get going forward, downfield a little bit, utilizing those screens. I don't love him in jet sweeps. The speed sweep, jet sweep motion because he's going horizontal. That's not Golden's game. You have to get Golden the ball like you would get a tailback in the backfield the ball.
Like
you
a Darren Sproles type thing, yeah.
Yeah, and you always hear coaches say, oh, we want to get him the ball as deep as we can in the backfield, shoulders are squared, and allow him to make a choice at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
That's how you have to treat Golden right now because that's at his strength, and they haven't done that yet.
ESPN's Dan Orlovsky, former NFL quarterback, joins us right now. Last question for you, Dan. You have a tweet here. You said, I love Eagles fans' passion about Wentz. Let me say this. A lot of people used to think Matthew Stafford was, quote, injury prone or, quote, fragile because some of his early injuries, and all he's done since then is start over 120 games in a row. A lot of people are making the case now that Carson Wentz injury prone as well. had the injuries back in college, the broken ribs in the preseason of his rookie year. We know what happened last year. And now this year, what would you just kind of say to that tag that Carson Wentz is injury prone that some people are saying?
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of evidence from his past that debates it, right? That at least, says and kind of proves it otherwise. I just know this. For some quarterbacks, it just takes some time for them to learn their body, learn the NFL game, harden to the NFL game as well, harden taking some hits. And they have to learn themselves a little bit, too. Like, does Carson need to learn that although his greatness is some of those extracurricular, secondary, third-type reactionary plays that make him so special? Absolutely. Can he continue to do that while also making sure that his ability to play is paramount? Yeah, you just have to learn yourself. I mean, Russell Wilson gets praised because, Russell Wilson is the best scrambling, sliding, avoiding hit quarterback ever. But he had to learn through that as well. And so my point is this with the Matthew Stafford comparison, and everyone kind of said, but Stafford stinks. That wasn't the point, whether you feel that way or not. The point is that just because a quarterback who comes in young and is asked to play right away and goes through the tumultuous part of being a starter for an extended period of time, you get beat up, and you have to just go learn your body through that and harden your body to take some of those hits, and the off season's part of it too. So my point is, just because he has been hurt in the past doesn't mean it's a dictator or what his next decade's going to look like at that spot. So listen, I've been around the NFL a long time. I've seen a lot of good quarterbacks. I've seen a couple great quarterbacks, and I've seen a lot of bad quarterbacks. Carson Wentz is trending in the opportunity to be great. And I'm talking great quarterback. Like, you could put him in the conversation of the best over the next decade. He's that fantastic of a football player. You just got to be patient. Last year was magical. Runaway MVP of the NFL last year. Second best second season ever in the NFL. Just be patient. The injuries are annoying. I get that. And that's why Eagles fans are better, as good as anybody in the NFL. But the kid is going to be an absolute franchise superstar for a decade.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Hey, Dan, I appreciate the time today. Thanks for doing this, and we'll talk to you up the road.
You got it, bud.
Joining us right now on the Comcast Business Hotline, you read him on ESPN.com. You see him on ESPN as well. And the great Tim McManus joins us right now. T-Mac, how's it going today, man? Pretty crazy times, I'm sure.
Yeah, I was kind of anticipating like a slow slip into the off season, but I should have known better. This beat is always interesting and entertaining, and full of news, and no different in this case.
Yeah, Tim, I just saw your latest tweet that you tweeted out 5 minutes ago that the Eagles are declining to make Nick Foles and Carson Wentz available to the media. What's your thoughts on that, and maybe why that was decided to not let them be available?
Yeah, if I had to speculate on that, I think that, Wentz is listed as questionable for this game, which leaves open kind of a possibility, at least in terms of an injury report perspective of him playing. So maybe because of the ambiguity there, that neither of the quarterbacks are going to be coming out and facing the media in this case. Certainly a unique case that's going on here, and I guess that's probably reflects that in some way.
I saw you also tweeted out no Carson Wentz at the start of practice today. Usually the Friday practice is the biggest, I guess, indicator of a guy if he's going to play or not. Nick Foles and Doug Peterson were getting some throws in out of practice today. But you were at the press conference today, and certainly there were some interesting things that came out of that press conference. Doug Peterson saying that the injury to Carson Wentz evolved over time. Do you feel like you got any clarity today in that press conference from the head coach?
Well, some. I mean, I don't know that we got full clarity as it goes to Carson Wentz and the back injury, but Peterson, after a couple minutes, said, I'm not answering any more questions on that. And then 10 more minutes, the press conference went, and it was all Carson Wentz questions. And so I think we got a couple things answered. I mean, one where he mentioned, not definitively, but gave a rough estimate for recovery time at 3 months. I mean, I think that at least publicly gives us something to work with about how long this is going to take. Peterson doesn't seem to think that this is something that will linger long term or be a long term concern for Wentz. Seems to be very optimistic, especially because he doesn't need surgery. So they're taking a positive outlook when it comes to that. And he said it's something that evolved over time, but didn't necessarily link it directly to the back injury that showed up on the report in back-to-back Wednesdays in late October. So it's not totally a clear picture, but I think it's, the pieces are starting to come together.
We're talking with Tim McManus, ESPN.com on the Comcast Business Hotline. Tim, knowing that this injury, as Doug termed it, was asymptomatic for much of the time, maybe, and it evolved over time, which is makes a lot of sense. Injuries can do that. They can be exacerbated and move to a different category of pain or whatever it might be. But knowing that he had a back injury, as you referred to, back in October, and is it fair to question the coach on the usage of the quarterback and specifically like plays like run options and putting him in those positions?
I mean, I guess everything is kind of fair game when you're talking about a high profile team and city and situation like this one, and the head coach and the quarterback are going to come under the microscope for a lot of things, and especially when you're talking about a franchise QB who's coming off of a major knee injury and then some back issues flare up. But the way that Peterson put it today was that he was feeling, that Wentz was feeling 100%, you know, that he wasn't really showing any kind of symptoms. And so that becomes a little bit tough. I mean, if they're not seeing anything, you know, assuming that they were doing, you know, some scans along the way and they weren't seeing anything, and Wentz wasn't said that he wasn't feeling anything, then you can. It makes sense that they would continue to play him. So I don't know how much you can hammer him for that. And if you're out there, you know, if he's out there playing football, which is a absolutely violent sport, then are you going to criticize him for having his quarterback run an option? I mean, he's out there or he's not out there in some respects. So, you know, that's open to interpretation as to how much heat you want to put on Peterson for those decisions, but. It seems like he was working with the information that he had in front of him.
Yeah, and a lot of times the head coach can only work off the information and what the player gives him. You know, what goes into that decision when a guy has an injury that's lingering? You know, can you hurt yourself further, damage your body further? Can you tolerate the pain? What goes into that decision? How do those decisions get made? Because I know it's in consultation with doctors, trainers, coach, and player.
Right, and I think it's kind of unique to each circumstance. In other words, you know, let's take Jay Ajayi for an example. He had a back fracture, but at least the way that he was relaying it was he couldn't really do any more damage as long as it was protected, and so you make the decision as to whether you're going to go out there or not. But I would say from player to player, from case to case, it's all unique. I think it is a combination of player feedback, of medical, and kind of a collaborative process that makes these determinations. And certainly, you know, it's not always perfect. But I think that they try to do whatever they can. And when you're talking about, you know, a franchise quarterback in particular, you know, you would assume that they're going to be taking all the measures possible, especially with him coming off of a major knee injury, you know, to be monitoring him on a pretty regular basis to try to get the best feel that they can as to what's going on.
Yeah, not to mention that the player's ability to perform, you know, is he 75% performance, obviously, is part of the equation as well. We're talking with Tim McManus on the Comcast Business Hotline. Tim, they're facing the Rams on Sunday, and let's just, I guess, presume that Nick Foles will be under center. Boy, they got a tough task at hand against a prolific team as they head back to the scene of the crime where Carson Wentz was injured last week. What do they got to do to stay in this game and give themselves a chance to have that long flight home be a celebration with a win?
Yeah, well, it's not going to be an easy feat. I mean, I do expect it's going to be Nick Foles under center. If the head coach is saying it's going to be 3 months recovery, I certainly wouldn't think that they would then put Wentz in the game. So I'm assuming that it's going to be Nick Foles up there. He's been taking all the practice reps. Wentz wasn't even in practice today. And one, I guess they need a little of that Foles magic to come back. You know, certainly they've been underdogs before and have proven people wrong, but this is a much different team and much different circumstances, 6-7. And the last time we saw Foles in this offense, it wasn't exactly pretty. I think that, you know, one thing that teams have been able to do against the Rams is run the ball a little bit, which is somewhat counterintuitive because you think of that defensive front and the beast that they have there along the interior. But, you know, teams have been averaging about 5 yards per carry. So if they can establish the run, then that obviously keeps the offense on the field and keeps the Rams offense off the field, which is the other part of it. And then, you know, if the defensive front can get home on Jared Goff, this has been a theme all season. It remains true. It's a secondary that's decimated by injury. And if they want to have a chance, you know, their guys up front are just going to have to make Jared Goff uncomfortable. And if they can't do that, it's going to be a really long day, because this is a creative offense that can absolutely beat you over the head if you're unable to generate pressure on the quarterback.
Tim, let's talk about the health real quick of this team. The injury report came out yesterday, and some of the names on there. Who's going to be able to go at this point? Michael Bennett, he's playing really well for this team. Is there anybody that you're going to get back this week that hasn't been playing previously?
There's a chance maybe Avante Maddox comes back, but otherwise I think pretty much you're going to have your regular cast of characters. You know, Michael Bennett is one to rightly point out, because like when you see him in the locker room, and this has been true for a few weeks now, yeah, he's got a limp. And you can watch him on the sidelines in between series, and he's walking with a limp. I mean, and yet he has been productive, and he has been, you know, one of the bright lights on a otherwise kind of rough season. So I would expect him. It's kind of been the pattern of late for him to miss practice early and then play anyway. And so I'm expecting him to be out there, especially in what essentially is a must-win game for this team.
Yeah, no question about it. They're hanging by a thread in the playoffs. Minnesota firing John DeFilippo on Monday, and then Carolina riding a five-game losing streak has left the door open at least a crack. Tim, how's the game play out on Sunday?
I think that the Rams are going to win, and you know, I predicted the Rams by about double digits. I mean, we'll see what kind of life gets infused into this offense, if any, with a healthy Foles coming in for what we have learned now is, you know, an injured Carson Wentz, and see if it takes any different form here. But we know where a lot of the attention has been this week. It has not been a normal week. Mm-hmm. And it's a really tall task against the Rams team that is coming off of a loss and returning home where they're scoring like close to 40 points a game. I mean, it's going to be hard. And so I think LA is going to win.
Okay. Well, you're right about that. I mean, they're a team coming off a loss in their worst offensive performance against the Bears last week. But they're going back to the friendly and warm confines of L.A. Certainly will give them an advantage. Tim, safe travels. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next Friday.
All right. Have a good weekend. Thanks.
But right now it is time for a little something we call on a Football Friday, Riled Up. Oh, I love that music. A little Orion from the Mighty Metallica sets the stage for a Friday edition of the Riled Up line. I hope you hit it last night at 610-771-9751. No winter sports in action last night for the Philadelphia teams, but they'll both be in action tonight. And, of course, the Eagles drama surrounding them, which is pretty much as per usual. So let's see what came in last night on the Riled Up line.
Wentz is better than Foles, period. Wentz is not elite yet. To be elite, you guys can agree with me, you have to at least win a playoff game. Wentz has the skills to be elite, the skill set, but he has to put it all together and stay on the field the entire season.
I totally agree with you, except one part of that. Winning one playoff game does not make one elite. You have to have all the other ingredients of elite and skill set and mindset and all that stuff to be elite, but you got to go beyond just winning one playoff series. You got to be elite. You got to win championships.
Well, is Nick Foles elite? He won a Super Bowl.
No. He's not elite.
I know.
Because he doesn't have the other required ingredients. He's got clutch. Nick Foles is clutch, not elite.
How's everyone doing?
Yeah, I agree, Nick. How is everyone doing? And we'll find out how you're doing on Sunday, and I hope you do great. I'm rooting for Nick Foles to go out there and chuck it up and down the field and have a great day and bring home a win.
Are you taking over-under? Here's one of the over-unders. 2.5 touchdown passes for Nick Foles. Does he have the magic?
I'm going to go Nick Foles on the over. I think one to Ertz. One to Alshon, who we had some pretty good chemistry with last year. And I'm going to go one to a running back in that Josh Adams. Three touchdowns.
You're going three TDs for Nick Foles?
Three touchdowns, one pick in the game. I'm not saying they're going to win. I'll go three touchdowns, one pick. All right? We can take live calls at 610-632-0975. It's wide open, so you don't have to wait. What's next, Andrew?
It's relentless, and I can't take much more.
if you honestly think that Foles is going to fix things, what's he going to do, clone himself and play, you know, secondary also and maybe linebacker and be a running back? Come on, people. There's way too many holes. Nobody is coming in and taking us to the promised land this year.
Well, you might be right about that, but look, a lot of people thought the same thing last year. You know what I mean? A lot of people thought that, you know, Nick, it's over. Carson's gone. We can't. Nick Foles can't get it done. Well, maybe he can. Maybe he can get it done. I'm not sure about that. By the way, did you? Oh, that's. I'm thinking it was a different Nancy Wilson that passed away. I thought it was the woman from Heart.
Jeez.
not the case. I just saw that on Twitter.
I'm out.
I am too.
Oh, it's cold. Oh, there's blood on my hand. Cold is this ice bath. Cold trying to get my injuries better. It's cold. My neck, my back, my knee, my wrist, my ribs. Ah, it's cold. But I'm a cobra.
Yeah, I like that. Cold is the ice bath.
Yeah, but that was a bashing call almost.
Yeah. Well, it sucks because the ice bath is in order. Now, do you take an ice bath for a sore back? I always went, when I had the bad back, I went with the heating pad.
Well, you're supposed to do a little bit of both, aren't you?
Yeah, well, the cold, I guess, is to bring the inflammation down.
You go 15 heat, then you go with the ice after that, right? Something like that?
So you alternate? Maybe that's why I suffered from it for 5 years.
Or maybe that's why my body's still in pain, is because I did go back and forth.
Now, I had the bad back. I did it chopping wood with a big sledge axe. And then I went on my honeymoon. I ended up in a Mexican shelter because of for Hurricane Wilma. And I slept on a pool mat and an elementary school desk for 4 days. And I came back with a bad back. I was hanging upside down on inversion tables. Had a lumbar facet injection surgery.
Are you
nothing
serious?
Worked. Yeah, nothing worked. And then I saw that P90X commercial with Tony Horton on TV. And I ordered it and did it for 6 weeks, and I woke up, no back pain, haven't had it since. That's how I did it. I got lucky. What's next?
Cuz, Martinez, how y'all doing? It's Nikki Sixx, baby. I'm back. You're going to see me do some magic this time, baby. You don't worry. Going to go to Super Bowl. Let's make some noise. Come on.
Let's make some noise. Come on.
Yeah, see, there's a fan that's coming together. He's rallying himself and anybody around him, and hopefully you, around the laundry, around the Eagles. I like that. Get pumped up. You know, there's a little bit different intrigue to this game now. And, you know, all the people that have been calling for Foles when Wentz has struggled this season, I know that none of them wanted to see Wentz get hurt, and that's how this would happen. But Foles is going to get in there, so there's some intrigue. What's he going to be able to do? Now, the first two games of the year, before Carson was able to come back, he wasn't great. I'll look up the numbers on those games, but we'll see how Foles does. This is a very difficult situation for Foles, so let's be really honest about this and not expect him to go out there and just be prolific. First of all, he hasn't played since week two. Second of all, he doesn't have the weapons, the same thing that Carson Wentz didn't have. So it is a very difficult spot, so let's be fair and be honest about it. Let's take a live Riled Up call, Andrew. Let's go to Mike and Del Ran on the Riled Up line on the Fanatic. What's up, Michael?
Yo, what's up, boys?
What's going on?
What? Are you a Nick Foles fan? Are you a Carson Wentz fan? Or are you an Eagles fan?
Who I'm an Eagles fan.
Right, you're an Eagles fan. Stop this arguing and bickering amongst ourselves. Yeah, Carson Wentz is the future. But he's hurt. Nick Foles is the right now. Don't want to watch somebody fail. You sound like a loser, you callers who call it here that want to see Nick Foles lose. Just go out there and root for your team, for Christ's sake. Go back.
Thank you, Michael. It would be, how cool would it be if Nick Foles goes out there and writes another chapter? You know, they haven't started the movie yet, the Nick Foles movie. But if he can go out there and write another chapter to this movie of the improbability of Nick Foles and add another distinguished period of time to this movie that eventually will be made about the things one man can overcome against all odds.
Well, he's already got the book called Believe. It's got to be a Believe 2, right? You got to write a second book.
You're going to have to get the sequel, right? The movie will be done in one fell swoop. And maybe the Super Bowl was just the beginning of this magical story of Nick Foles. Maybe he's just one of those guys that is it. You know what I mean? We don't know what it is. You can't put your finger on what it is. But maybe Nick Foles has it at the right time.
Well, it's funny. I was texting with a couple people yesterday, and they said, hey, Andrew, do you think they have any shot if Wentz is done for the year? And I said, no. And then I sent a follow-up text saying, But I said the exact same thing last year.
Yeah, a lot of people did.
Like, I said right away, as soon as Carson Wentz went down last year, that the Eagles have no shot. Now, I remember you saying that you still believed. I had zero confidence in Nick Foles winning last year.
Yeah, my argument.
So how can I just straight up say no this year?
Yeah, my argument last year was like, did Carson Wentz get hurt last year, or did 53 guys get hurt last year? No. It was just Wentz. Well, there was other guys injured, but it's a team sport. So I believed last year. It hurt when Carson got hurt, but Harry and I remained pretty positive on the situation, and it worked out. Not because of us, but that's how I felt about it at the time. I feel differently this time because it's not the same team, but I have the same hope. Let's take a live call and go to Sean. Oh, Sean in Pine Hill. What's going on, Sean? You're on the Fanatic.
Uh-oh. Yeah, real quick, Doug Peterson, you're not Belichick. We're playing the Rams. No one cares you're playing the Rams. You're 12.5-point underdog, so who cares about that? Second off, Carson Wentz. You know he's like, you ever see that old lady, that commercial where she falls at the bottom of the steps? She's like, help, I can't get up. That's Carson Wentz, because that's how he's the whole career injured. And all the people that like Nick Foles, you ever see the movie called Benchwarmers? That's the guys that like Nick Foles. They've got, you know, the guys that can never get in and do anything. So good luck with the rest of your season.
All right. Well, coming from a Giant fan, and look, the Giant quarterback, Eli Manning, he's a little long in the tooth, but he plays every week. He doesn't get injured. But then again, he folds up like an accordion anytime anybody comes around him. But he also has got two Super Bowl rings in his cat. But, look, I don't know what the future is going to be for Carson Wentz. And Dan Orlovsky talked about it and related it to Matthew Stafford. Eventually, I think Dan Orlovsky was right in the sense that Carson does need to figure out how to protect his body a little bit better. Because you can't – availability in sports, it doesn't matter how good you are. If you can't be available, it really doesn't.
Michael Neuwirth?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a long list of guys, right, that just never could stay on the field of play because they just couldn't stay healthy. They just had misfortune or their body. It's like that movie Unbreakable. You know, you got one guy that can't be broken, and you had the guy like Samuel L. Jackson that couldn't avoid breaking a bone at every turn. I don't think Carson Wentz is that, though. I don't. I think it's just been a little bit of misfortune, and he's got to tweak the way he plays a little bit. What's next?
Oh, Andy Reid, how I could depend on you. Having a bad day, Wentz get hurt, Flyers look like poop, Andy Reid does Andy Reid. Hold my beer, I got this. 2-score lead, 4 minutes left? Nah, we're going to blow it. Thanks, Big Red. Time's yours, bud.
Why? See, I don't get this. Why do people still relish in the failures of Andy Reid?
Thank you. I've been thinking the same thing.
I've seen a ton of it on Twitter today. Like, people are going, Andy blew another one. Oh, and they're happy about it. They're cheering for the failure of Andy Reid. Now, the Big Stones Award of the Week goes, the Chargers going for two. I mean, right? I mean, that's classic. And Phillip Rivers, by the way, is phenomenal. And it was a good game last night. But why do people relish in the failure of Andy Reid? He brought you some great years here. I know he didn't win the Super Bowl. They went to 5 NFC championships and made it to 1 Super Bowl. But people want to see him fail. I root for Andy Reid to win a Super Bowl.
If the Eagles aren't in it, yeah, if they don't make it, I want the Chiefs to win.
I do too.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.